Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome in. Back at 1 o'clock, right where I belong. Sorry about the voice. I have no idea. You know, you would think yesterday, because it was after a weekend of football, but I was fine yesterday. I woke up with a strained voice, and we'll get through it. I've got some tea here and an energy drink, so we're all amped up, ready to go. Yesterday, we talked with Brian Nowak. He's the Cheektowaga supervisor. Last week, we talked to Dan Gagliardo. He's running for Amherst supervisor. Today, we're talking to Sean Lavin. He is the deputy supervisor running for Amherst supervisor and joins us in studio now. Sean, welcome back.
Joe, thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for agreeing to be here, kicking off the show. And obviously, the talk of this campaign starts at the Westwood Country Club property, where I passed twice today. And that sale, if I understand, is official as we speak.
Done deal.
Done deal. Now, you've heard the criticisms, right?
Sure.
The town of Amherst paid $7 million. They sold it for a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
There are citizens that say they would have liked, a vote on this. You've got your opponent who's filed a lawsuit. What is your response to the criticisms?
Lots to unpack there. Number one, the selling it for a dollar. Here's my argument to that. If you want to go to a destination, you sit in the driver's seat, right? So the town of Amherst made a deliberate purchase of that property to verify to the neighborhood and the people surrounding that park, that Westwood Country Club, that that's going to remain green space. So that was really important to us. And when I hear about referendums, what I say to that is, in 2017, I campaigned on this being a park. 2019, colleagues campaigned on this being a park. 2021, same. 2023, same. All that messaging is the referendum. We have told people again and again, we want to make this a park. We want to make this available for everybody. And we're excited to bring this to a conclusion. It's been 12 years. Now people in that neighborhood, people in Amherst can know that's going to remain green. It's going to be a passive park and nine holes of golf.
So the criticism that Amherst lost money on this, you're saying that's not 100% true.
I call it an investment. An investment in green space, an investment in our kids, our grandkids, because you cannot, the Boulevard Mall, here's a news flash, will never be green space again.
Right.
Let's be real.
Yeah.
But when you buy Westwood, you have that now in perpetuity. That stays green. It stays green forever. And that's the kind of final deal that the Amherst residents are going to see. They're going to have a place to walk around, to enjoy, to recreate, to golf. And I think that's important.
That was, at one point, going to be Melody Fair, right? Melody Fair, is that right? What's it called?
Before my time.
No, not Melody Fair. What's the place at Damon?
Musical Fair.
Musical Fair. Melody mm-hmm. Fair. That was a proposed spot for Musical Fair.
That's absolutely right. So that's a great question. Amherst bought this property with the thought of making it the Amherst Central Park, right? We're going to take full ownership, take custody of it. And we said, let's put Musical Fair there. Let's move the B&HV. The residents said, we're not looking for that kind of activity at Westwood. So we heard them. We recognized that. And we pivoted to what you saw last Friday.
could the town had done what the county is doing and kept the property for the town to profit? Maybe not profit, but to own.
So what I'd say to that is I don't like have multiple organizations doing the same thing. So the county has the ranger program. They have people who can manage golf courses and parks. They do it at Ellicott Creek. They do it at Chestnut Ridge. They do it at Alma Meadows. So they have the infrastructure and the people and the resources to do that and to maintain it and to make it safe and to make it a viable asset for people all throughout Erie County. And they're just going to bring that to Amherst. So could Amherst do it? Yes. But what you're doing is you're just adding on layers of kind of bureaucracy that don't need to be there.
So is that the response? Your opponent has talked about teams he's wanted to bring to look at the property and, you know, propose a golf course there. You know, he said he wasn't allowed in to look at it. Your point is Amherst didn't want to get in that business because that would be employing more people.
Well, I would argue, too, to my opponent's point, is he wanted to spend $9 million of Amherst taxpayer money to make it a golf course. And I don't want to do that, right? The people have waited long enough. That money doesn't come from nowhere. It comes from the Amherst taxes, and I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in getting the fence down, getting people on that site as soon as humanly possible.
And when will that be?
I would love to say spring of 27.
Spring of 27.
That's okay. My goal.
All right. And when will the cars start leaving the Westwood
property? Cars are gone.
Oh, they are gone.
They are gone.
And I drove by it twice today and couldn't even. All right. So the cars are gone.
Gone.
But we have a year until Erie County is going to be able to start.
So it depends on this. It's, you know, we're weather dependent here in Western New York.
Yes, of course.
So we're going to see how much of this fall we can go. We've already now, they've already got people on site doing work, doing the surveying, seeing what needs to be done. Depending on the weather in the springtime, get started right away, work all the way through that summer, depending on what else needs to be done. I'd love to tell you spring. It's like anything else. It's probably going to be the summer.
Right. Okay.
But 2027 is the plan.
2027. All right. Down the street, the Boulevard Mall. It's been another topic in this campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Doug Jamal voiced his frustration in May of this year. I was saying of last year, I had the dates wrong. It was May of this year. He was voicing a displeasure with how slow he thought the process was going.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's transferring this property to Benderson. I know there's not much you can talk about it, but what can you tell us about the Boulevard Mall?
So the Boulevard Mall is in a situation where they had, and we got to unpack a few things here. In the 1960s, the Sears and the Macy's of the world were the retail giants. And in order to lure those kind of big retail giants into Western New York, they were extended these long leases on their property. And they have a lot of rights to those leases. I think it's 2085 they actually have property rights to that parcel. So, you know, you and I can wait right now 60 years for those leases to expire, or we can work with Benderson to do the eminent domain proceedings to break those leases so they can actually move forward with redeveloping that property.
So the process we saw with Penny's, we're mm-hmm. also going to see or are seeing with Macy's?
You should be seeing that. Now that I can't get too far in the details, but now right. that we have, there's a singular owner, right? There's a one-point communication with the town of Amherst to do that. Some of those leases that are challenging, that's what we're working on.
So when Jamal owned it, Benderson still owned their piece of the mall.
That's right.
That was never transferred?
That's right.
Was that going to be transferred at some point in the old plan?
That I don't know.
Now, City Center, according to Supervisor Culpa, is still the plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know that. So that is true, that the City Center is still the plan going forward with Benderson?
Yes.
How do you think it's going to look exactly as it would under Jamal?
I do.
Yeah.
No, I think the Benderson Corporation has been very very good community partners. They work with us to find solutions. Do we get everything we want? No, but vice versa, right? There's always a compromise and there's a solution, and I think we're going to see that at that property.
So the stores that are left in the mall, the outer stores.
Mm-hmm.
Are they looking for a potential place to move? How's that process go now that Benderson is the owner?
I don't know. I don't own the parcel or any of the leases, so I'm not sure what the solution is for some of those retailers hanging on, and I don't want to give projections because it's not my place.
But could that be something used in an eminent domain, you know, if you're taking Macy's to court, as was Penny's, could there be something where the town says, hey, we hear this will be offered to you?
I would imagine the town of Amherst is very accommodating to rational, predictable kind of situations like that.
Another thing right across the street that we talked about last time you were in studio is Station 12. Obviously, it's gotten a lot of focus, but now tenants will start moving in, as you understand.
That's my understanding. Very excited. I thought that was going to be your first question.
Well, it would have been, but these other two things have come up in the last few days. So Station 12 will be up and running at some point.
Up and running. I think their tentative date was to have everything for the holiday season of 26.
Oh, okay.
So that would be ideal if they can get those tenants in there, at least some of them.
Right.
For the holiday shopping season of 2026. So we're thinking late summer, early fall of next year.
And that means, obviously, revenue tax-wise for the town of Amherst.
I mean, ideally.
You know, because we had Brian Nowak was in here yesterday talking about the lost, you know, with the mall, how with the Galleria, how it's still a big economic hub, but that they have lost some of the tax revenue from that property. It looks like Amherst might be making up for the lost revenue in the Boulevard with some of these new stores.
Ideally.
Now, the budget today will be presented today.
Amherst Town Board today at 7 p.m.
What can you tell us about the budget?
Well, we're looking at a 0.02% tax rate decrease, right? So it's a $178 million budget that's going to be presented to the residents about where we're going in the town of Amherst. We are pretty good in terms of our capital spending. But again, like anything else, you know, we kept budget within line, even though we're facing some of the higher healthcare costs, pension costs, some of those things as well.
Tax decrease, is that property tax decrease?
It's a rate decrease.
A rate decrease.
0.02
rate decrease.
Correct. In the town of Amherst.
In the town of Amherst, proposed in this budget that'll be right. presented today.
That's right.
Now, last time we were here, you said you don't see the expansion of the Metro Rail.
I did.
Ever happening.
Ever happening.
Do you still believe that as we speak today?
Yes.
So what would you, as supervisor,
yeah.
what would you say to all of these studies that are being proposed, these meetings that are happening? If you don't believe it'll happen, where do you draw the line?
I have no objections to the exploring of this situation. I think it's worth having the meetings with the residents. It's worth having the meeting. Here's my issue. I just don't see the amount of money that it takes for a Metrorail extension happening and falling from the Department of Transportation. I've heard numbers up to $1 billion. I just don't see that money falling into Western New York. Now, if it does, I would also want to see kind of rapid bus transit from one campus to the next to verify that we're filling up those buses, that the need is there for students and for residents. If we're seeing that, let's have a conversation.
But to that point, this would include Maple Road, which we know people are already sounding the alarm that the new Dick's Sporting Goods and Costco is going to be traffic hell starting at Maple and Bailey.
Right.
So if you now take away a traffic lane, that's got to be something the town of Amherst would have to address, correct?
I mean, we would have to be a part of the conversation for sure.
Is there an expanding of the road there coming? I know when they first talked about Costco coming in, mm-hmm. there was something about where Red Lobster used to be, and there might be a little bit. Where is that? What is going to happen there? Or is it going to look the exact same?
Nope. We're going to add a turning lane to where Red Lobster is on the left-hand side. So okay. you can move, turn left onto Maple, right? So we're going to add some traffic mitigation measures on that traffic intersection. So that's happening. And as I said before, we're also adding MyoVision, which is an AI way of verifying traffic and lights. So people will notice if you go down Maple, the light will actually turn green based on the cars on the opposing paths, right? So we're decreasing our time of people waiting on Maple. And it's already happening in real time. We plan to add that service as well to the area around Costco.
Now, I know I asked you this last time in a different way. So this is just me trying to get an answer out of you.
Sure.
If you were to be elected, what is a vision you have that might be different from the current supervisor?
So we have in Amherst, and I don't want to say most municipalities, but what we're trying to do better is we have all this data, and we have to get this data into the people who need it the most. That means the residents, that means the businesses, that means emergency services. So let me give you an example. We have GPS on every single snowplow in the town of Amherst, right? I want to live in a world in which people can go online, see which way the snowplow is, how long it's till it's at their street, Do they just go by your street? Do you have to shovel out the end of your driveway again, right? So we have the technology. We have the website. We just got to merge those two together, because once we do that, we're showing the residents the services we're providing every single day. And we can start that process with just an easy fix like that. So I want to get a little bit more dynamic on the merging of technology and government services, because I think that's important. So that would be a definite something I would do much differently than the current supervisor.
Another question about the budget that I should have asked then, and we're just going to merge it together in the podcast. How is Amherst in a position to offer that small but that rate cut?
So we have now found a way for us to be in a position where we've gotten over the hump that was all the inflation you had from 2020. I think inflation was 20% in the last 5 years. So we're over that hump where we've budgeted appropriately for the last few years, and that puts us in a good position to offer this rate decrease for residents.
Any debates planned between you and your opponent?
Yes, so we have a conversation we're having at UB with the League of Women Voters late October, and I think we've both committed to doing WKBW at the end of October as well.
All right. Well, what about WBEN right before the election?
I'm not opposed to it.
All right. I mean, Hardline is open. That's all I'm saying. Hardline is open. Would be great to have the two of you in studio.
Sure.
And, just compare those differences. But, Sean, always great having you. And I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
Joe, thank you for the invitation.
That is Sean Lavin. He is the current deputy supervisor in Amherst, and he's running for supervisor as the endorsed Democrat. You heard last week Dan Gagliardo, his opponent, on this program last Thursday. And I believe he was on with David the following day. So you can find all that, including this interview, on the Odyssey app, which is up and running, and WBEN.com. When we come back, we'll talk government shutdown. Also, if you are stuck at a Canadian border, can you tell me what that experience is like? We hear people are being turned away. We'll get an update on that. And if you've experienced it at all today, tell us what's going on. 803-0930, star 930, back after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back. It is Joe Beamer here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Yes, I apologize for the voice today. I will not talk from 3 until 1 o'clock tomorrow. How's that sound? We have a current situation. With commercial border traffic, local law enforcement is directing 190 northbound traffic to exit the 190 due to tobacco traffic. Still flowing from what we've heard, okay? Cars were getting turned around at the Queenston-Lewiston Bridge at one point, and we know this has been an issue for the day. David was talking about it earlier during his show. I want to know if you were in that, no matter what we're talking about, if you experienced the backup or are experiencing the backup, let us know, 803-0930, star 930. You can safely text me then do so at 803-0930 as well. So I want to leave, I want the lines to be open for that. We're going to talk about some other stuff. But if you were part of this backup, if you experienced anything branching from this border crossing issue, then let us know, 803-0930, star 930. Now, we know the government is going to shut down at midnight unless there is a miracle. It doesn't look as if there is going to be any kind of agreement. The president has spoken several times today, and he said that a shutdown is likely. And, you know, Democrats are saying it's Republicans. Republicans say that it's Democrats, and obviously so on and so on and so forth. But I have to be honest, and I said this yesterday, I can't tell you anything about this government shutdown until yesterday when I started obviously reading for about it for the show. It's not one that I'm following. Like, usually this comes up. I don't know if that is because I just can't see where I will be affected by this, or that government shutdown talk is a common occurrence now. It seems as if we are always talking about a government shutdown, right? Regardless of who's in power, which party's in power, who the president is, the budget always comes down to government shutdown talk. The government was shut down at one point or more in the past. And it's not, in my opinion, it's just kind of lost that weight talking about government shutdown, right? But I want to know, you out there at 803-0930, star 930, is this something you're keeping an eye on? What do you think of this, of government shutdown talk? And what do you think about the back and forth? You got the president on social media putting out a number of things. Obviously, the Democrats are going to do press conferences. You know, they're going to make it sound like the world's ending as they do. You know, everything, the sky is falling. How are you viewing this? Are you paying attention to it? Or are you like me and really didn't start, you know, hearing anything or reading anything about it until yesterday? Andrea is in Gettysville. We had Sean Lavin on last segment. Andrea wants to push back on a few claims by Sean Lavin. And, you know, this is a talk show, and that is what we do here. So, Andrea, appreciate you calling in.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just want to make sure everyone is aware of the fact that Dan Gagliardo never, ever said that he was going to take $9 million in tax dollars in order to do the Westwood project. That's totally, totally not true. The second thing he said was that they would need to hire individuals if the town took over the Westwood. They already hired those people. They hired them under the budget under the Amherst Central Park project. What they've done, they have now taken those individuals and they have created a new department called the Facilities Department. So they've already hired these people. So I don't understand where he's coming through with that. And the third thing is, I just want to make sure everyone understands that, yes, he is willing to give the county for $1 Westwood while the Amherst taxpayers take on the $20 million that they have borrowed. There's the points I just wanted to make.
Hey, Andrea, you know, obviously the people on social media, especially people on the political left, you know, that they say that this is being blown out of proportion. As a resident of Amherst, why have you focused so much on this? Just let the listeners know, for someone who might not live in Amherst, you know, what this property and how you view this as a resident, a taxpayer in Amherst.
This is a great piece of property that the Amherst residents are not willing to just give it away. I mean, Dan Gagliardo wants to get with some private companies that are established in development of golf courses so that Amherst can retain home rule and make it a profitable, taxable property for the Amherst residents. And by doing what Dan wants to do, he is going to make sure that it is forever green. And the thing is, they keep on saying that the Republicans, the Amherst Concerned Citizens, the Dan Gagliardi campaign is against parks. Absolutely not true. That is another thing they're trying to say against us. We are in favor of parks. It's just that we want to make sure that we are paying for these parks in a financially responsible way.
All right, Andrea, I appreciate the call. And I should say, if anyone like Andrea wants to call in as well, appreciate Andrea the call and tuning in. Again, yeah, we had Sean Lavin on in the first segment talking about what's going on in Amherst. Obviously, he is running for supervisor as the endorsed Democrat. He's the current deputy supervisor, the endorsed Republican, Dan Gagliardi. We've had him on several times. We had him on last Thursday, right before he filed the law. Well, before the sale was approved, and then his lawsuit was filed. As you heard Sean say, they are going to have, I believe, two discussions before Election Day, and we are going to try to get a discussion here at Amherst. We are in Amherst, but on WBEN during Hardline. I'd like to have them both in studio if that could work, or at least side-by-side segments on the phone to have one last. Because, like I said, minus the mayoral election in Buffalo, I do think this is the biggest local election. Now, you could say Erie County Comptroller because that's a countywide election, and I'll listen to that argument. But I think when we're talking about, you know, town and city elections, you've got the city of Buffalo, the town of Amherst. I would say that's one and two on this year's local election radar. So obviously something that we're going to continue to follow. And, you know, also when you're talking about Westwood Country Club, there are people who don't live in Amherst who are questioning why the county is involved at all. Right. I mean, we've heard those calls on here. After Dan's called in updating the situation, we've had people call in saying, you know, I live in Hamburg. Why is the county buying another golf course? So that Westwood sale, you have people outside of Amherst who are also like, why is the county getting involved on this? The county who's approved millions of dollars to start the cleanup and to put their plan in place. So it is something that, you know, that Westwood property, it is something that even if you're outside of Amherst, it affects you if you're an Erie County taxpayer, right? 803-0930, star 930. Joe is in Buffalo. Joe also has a comment on the Lavin interview. Joe, thanks for calling in.
Hi, Joe. How you doing? I'm a member of what's called the Amherst Concerned Citizens. And a lot of what Lavin brought forward, and I'm not picking on him, but I'm just trying to clear up the air, very false. One false statement after another. And you know what, Joe? It's not the park. The park is a big thing, but there's so many other things, I wouldn't even know where to begin. There is no transparency. Things are done undercover. Meetings are changed so that not a lot of people show up. I mean, there are techniques in place here that are truly underhanded. I mean, and it keeps getting worse and worse and worse, and we're paying the bill. We're paying the freight. They're looking to put a place up for children. There's one available right across the street from where they look. They won't even look at the property. It's less money. It has everything you would need. Swings, a playground, a building that has a security system that's ready to go. I mean, it's unreal. So in other words, when they're talking to citizens at these meetings, I've been to a couple, they don't want to hear it. They just don't want to listen. I mean, Sean Lavin has been guilty of playing with his laptop when everybody's bringing up all these comments. I don't know if he's trying to keep track of the comments or what he's doing, but it sure doesn't look like he's paying attention. Go ahead, Joe.
Joe, what's another thing happening in Amherst? You know, we hear so much about the Westwood Country Club. What's another project or another issue that you don't think is getting enough spotlight in this campaign?
Well, Station 12, which is on Sheridan Drive, they've made all these businesses move, knocked everything down, rubble, And then they started to build what looked like concrete barracks. And no one is renting. No one's coming. And they just keep doing it. And they're not anywhere near finished. It's the most unattractive group of buildings I've ever seen in my whole life.
Hey.
The other thing is the Eastern Hills Mall. That's another issue.
Well, that's not Amherst.
I'm sorry. I meant the Boulevard
okay.
Mall. It's a mess. Between Jamal, now he pulled out, and I have the feeling, well, I'm suspicious anyway, but I have the feeling that was all arranged. He pulled out because he didn't want to spend any more money. The big boss, big supervisor took over, and all of a sudden the project goes to Benderson, who is the sweetheart of groups here. I mean, he's got a lot of power. That's a big company. And I'm sure he'll get the Boulevard Mall done. But I want to know who's getting putts. I want to know what kind of graft is being passed around. And I could keep going, Joe. I mean, there's so many.
Joe, you know, no one has been more critical of Station 12 than me. You know, it's something I pass on my way to work every day. It's one of the busiest streets in Amherst, and it's been an eyesore.
Yes.
Now, we did hear that tenants have, you know, 12 new tenants have agreed. We'll see. I mean, there is still another whole half of the plaza that has to be built. I mean, there's an old tire shop that's still sitting there in part of the undeveloped land. So I hear your criticisms on that. We'll see. I mean, we've been told that these 12 tenants, including two of the original, are now planning to move in. I will hold back judgment until, you know, if a year from now I don't see any progress, Joe, you know I'll be right back on that criticism.
I know you will. That's why I called in, Joe. I mean, I know you're probably one of the most effective places to call and one of the most effective talk hosts. And I enjoy all of your programs. I listen every day. And I know if there's something to get done, you will get it done.
Oh, thank you, Joe. We're going to cut that out for a promo. Joe, appreciate the call, my friend. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
803-0930-9330. Tanner, let's make that a promo. What the last part of his call right there, we're going to turn that around and play that during Coast to Coast and all the primetime shows. 803-0930-9930 gets you on the show. I appreciate Andrea and Joe calling in. Yes, obviously, if you have anything you want to push back on or agree with what Sean Lavin says, I mean, that's why we have... you know, people in power or people seeking to get power. That's why we have them on the show. You know, Brian Nowak yesterday, he came in and he was asking for calls. I respect that. Again, I don't politically agree with Brian Nowak. He knows that. But I have a ton of respect for people who know I don't think the same way as them and will offer their time. And so I'm thankful for Sean, for Brian, Nowakowski, who always comes on here. Again, I mean, that's what we're here to do. We're here to put our opinions out there, of course, but also get the input from leaders throughout Western New York and from you, the citizens, the residents. So obviously, if you have anything you want to say on that interview, phone lines are open. And again, thank you to Andrea and Joe for calling in and adding to that discussion. So government shutdown, again, we are 10 hours away, and let's be honest, it's probably going to happen. It doesn't seem like there was anywhere close to an agreement. The president has spoken twice today. I believe the second time he gave some comments on this. This was when he was announcing the Pfizer deal. And I'll tell you this, say what you want about Trump. Obviously, there's a lot of people out there that can't stand him. There's a lot of people out there that love him. But regardless of how you feel of Donald Trump, the guy talks to the media. Now, you might, you know, push back with, yeah, Joe, but he just sits there and lies. That's your opinion. But the guy will talk. He will talk for hours with people he knows can't stand him. You know what I mean? I mean, he will sit there and talk to the media knowing that a majority of people in that press pool will write, you know, some of the most vile things about him in their article. But it doesn't stop him. So again, I know there's half the country that doesn't like him. I get it. I mean, I get that you don't like them. I've talked about that I think a lot of the anger is displaced anger from somewhere else in life, and you find Trump and you go, I'm going to put all my anger towards Donald Trump. I mean, some of the anger seems very irrational on social media. But say what you want, compared to Biden, the guy talks to the media. I mean, I would say he even talks to the media more than Obama. Anytime there is a Trump appearance, there's a 90% chance he's going to take questions, and he will take questions until everyone in the room, including the janitor, has asked one. But this is what he said about an hour ago on the shutdown.
We could come up and through this whole thing, you know, because I don't know, we'll probably have a shutdown, because one of the things they want to do is they want to give incredible Medicare, the Cadillac Medicare, to illegal immigrants. And what that does is it keeps them coming into our country, and like they do in California. And no country can afford that. No country. And we have the border stopped up. We have it closed. We have nobody for 4 months. Zero people came in. That wasn't me. That's me by the authorities who happen to be liberally oriented. But just think of that. We have people offering health care to people all over the world that they can't afford to pay. And that's the Democrats. And what happens, what that does is it brings people into the country because they want to come in for the health care. But no country can afford it, and they can't afford it. So we cannot allow them to charge tremendous amounts of money for health care for people that aren't even citizens. And in many cases, they come in from prisons, jails, and mental institutions. And we can't let that happen.
And that is, you know, that's where the Republicans and Democrats are held up on this shutdown. Now, again, depending on whose talking points you read, right, it's the Democrats say that Trump is pulling funding from people. Republicans are clarifying that the funding is being pulled from health insurance for people who are here illegally, right? And then Democrats will come back. There's illegal aliens are not on Medicaid. Well, you said the same thing about the voter rolls. And as David pointed out during his show today, you've got the superintendent in Des Moines, the school superintendent, who was illegally registered to vote in Maryland. So they keep telling us that this isn't happening. And we continue to find examples of people who are in this country illegally, who are illegally registered to vote. Instead of just letting ICE look at the voter rolls, instead of just letting the administration deport people who, by the way, had already been given deportation notices. And that includes from the previous administration. And now you've got Democrats pushing back on the administration just following through on notices that were handed out, following through on getting some of the most despicable criminals who are here illegally out of the country. And it seems to be the Democrats will push back on anything except for agree with Trump. They don't want Trump to help with crime, even though it was successful in Washington. They'd rather have crime-ridden cities than to let the president help. He's the bad guy because he wants to get rid of crime. Have you heard anyone in Washington say they were intimidated because the National Guard was there? I've heard multiple interviews with people who I can't imagine, Washington, D.C., it's difficult to find a Trump supporter in D.C., right? So I'm guessing a majority of the people they're interviewing are not Trump supporters, saying they feel safer. We've played that interview of the people at the train station saying they feel safer. They feel like they can go out downtown at night and be safe. Like, you don't have to like the president to admit everyone has the right to feel safe no matter the hour of the day. 803-0930, star 930. Your thoughts on the shutdown, your thoughts on the talking points of the shutdown. We'll also get into road rage when we come back. 96% of Americans say they have been guilty of some sort of road rage. I had a little bit of it on my way into work today. I'll tell you about that. We'll take your calls. And AOL, calling it quits for dial-up at least. We'll get into that as well. It's Joe Beamer on News Radio 930 WBEN. Well, welcome back. Hour number two. Wow. Yeah, I need some tea, some honey, all that good stuff. That's, like I said, I'm not sick. I don't feel awful. I wasn't, you know, yelling over the weekend. I was only at one game. I didn't go to the Bills game. I was only at the Tech game. I have no idea, but I woke up this morning and I said, this is going to be a problem. So my apologies to the audience out there. I hope you're still enjoying the show. 803-0930, star 930. We left you talking about the shutdown or the looming shutdown. Still taking your calls on that. And what exactly, if anything, do you fear with a government shutdown? And what do you think of the pushback on the attempts to stop crime in blue cities? It seems people like JP, Pritzker, Governor Pritzker, Hochul, a lot of these Democrat governors, whoever it is out in Oregon, that they care more about political standing and they care more about just not agreeing with Trump. Now, you see this again. I will go back to social media where I am going to make a stand and I'm going to need help from people out there. Politics should not be on Instagram. Starting today, I am taking politics off of my Instagram account. We should have one social media that doesn't get political. And I think Instagram is probably the easiest to not get political. Just snap some pictures of yourself or what you're doing, all that stuff. But yesterday I saw, you know, someone put, everything's political. Stop pretending it's not. Let me tell you, if you look at things that way, I don't know what to tell you. Not everything's political, okay? My wife got mad at me yesterday because I just threw my clothes out of my suitcase on the floor. There was nothing political about that argument. I was lazy, and she called me out on it. That is not political, okay? And I think that's part of the problem, is people think everything's political, and if you don't agree with me, that means you're wrong about everything. And I will continue to say that people are a lot more than their politics. And if you let your politics define you, I think you're missing out. You know, hey, I'm very passionate about where what I feel politically. I am. I am very passionate about what I feel politically. And I do think that it's insane. Yes, insane that there are leaders, alleged leaders, pushing back on the president trying to stop crime in their crime-ridden cities. Yes, I think that's insane, okay? But if someone were to call in right now and say, Joe, I think you're all wrong, this is, I would listen. And I would say, well, I think you're wrong too, but I'm glad we can have a conversation about it. And that would be that. I wouldn't get steaming, like, you know, I wouldn't get all red in the face. I wouldn't go complain about it on Facebook after the show. I would just let it be. Like, we have a disagreement. I think you're wrong. I think the goal of the president should be to make sure crime is not an issue, especially in the major cities of America. And I do think the pushback is on people not wanting to fall out of favor of their party. I think that's pretty obvious, if you ask me. But again, we have to be able to have that conversation without then someone going online and calling you a moron, right? And saying, you know, and blocking you and saying that you're an awful person. Like yesterday someone went to a post of mine from like a week ago and just went on a rant, like on an irrational, unhinged rant. And I just don't know what brings a person to that point. I really don't. Again, I have my political opinions. Yeah, I get in heated conversations. We all do. But, I mean, number one, I don't write a lot to begin with. But to just go on an unhinged rant on someone that you don't know, someone who you're not even Facebook friends with, I don't know what drives someone to do that. Again, I've never got into a conversation thinking I'm going to change that person's mind. I go into a conversation, I want to make sure they see where I'm coming from. And if they can't, after I lay it all out, then that's their problem. Then it's on them, right? Like, yes, I don't understand why you would push back on help fighting crime. Now, again, if someone were to call in and give me their opinion, they're not going to change my mind, but maybe I can see what belief of theirs leads to them thinking it's a bad thing. Do you get what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Because as it sits right now, I just think you've got Pritzker who thinks he's going to be president one day. You got Newsom who thinks he's going to be president one day. And their whole point is to make a political point. Right? It's just like with the vaccines. I mean, I'm getting posts about vaccine clinics that is like an underhand, dig at the president. It's like, well, do you want people to get vaccines, or are you just really trying to make a political statement with vaccine clinics? Because that's what it looks like. Like, you didn't have to, if you really believe it, then you should just say, hey, these vaccine clinics are up. But making a petty political statement, okay, so now you're just doing vaccine clinics to stand up to the president because you want to score points with your party? I don't get it, right? 803-0930, *930 gets you on the show. I'll continue taking your calls on that. But this is something that came up today, and wouldn't you know it, it happened to me today. So we learned a new study from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety has found aggressive driving behaviors are a near universal experience, with 96% of drivers admitting they've engaged in road rage after the past year. Now, there's all different levels of road rage, right? You've got people who, they get out of their car, they get nuts, right? They'll run after you. I don't think we're talking about that kind of road rage. We're talking about you getting upset with someone and, you know, maybe passing them aggressively, maybe telling them they're number one by rolling your window down. You also see people who will ride your bumper because they think you're driving too slow, right? We see that all the time. That is dangerous, because then someone lays on the brakes, you're not going to be able to brake in time. Happened to me today, and I'm not proud to say this. I know it was stupid. I was on my way here, going down Sweet Home, and someone was driving ridiculously slow, like as if they knew I was trying to get here by a certain time, and they were driving ridiculously slow down Sweet Home. Now, again, not being in the moment, maybe they were looking for the particular street they ended up turning down. Maybe they were lost. Maybe it's not their car and they're just getting comfortable driving it. A lot of factors that could have played into it. But again, I'm trying to get to work and I might have been following this person a little too close, and I might have done this thing where I was wiggling my wheel to illustrate that I was not happy. Now, that was stupid. I shouldn't have done that, right? I got here way ahead of the time that people expect me to be here. But in that moment, it's like people on social media. In that moment, you kind of lose some of your good judgment. And I would say that most people who have been guilty of some type of road rage, it's like a flip goes off or a switch goes off. And for a few minutes, you lose that good decision-making. Now, some people do it to an extreme extent and have to answer to the law, obviously. But others, you know, it's very, again, might be somewhat unsafe, but it's very like in the moment, here you are, and then move on. I want to know, what road rage have you been guilty of? And what road rage have you seen? Have you witnessed? The biggest road rage I ever witnessed was, again, me being an idiot, but I was not the one responsible for the road rage. So when we were younger, we liked to water balloon. I know, Joe, you really were just an awful person. I was. I'm trying to be a better person, okay? But we like to go around throwing water balloons. And usually we would use my mom's car because the back seat, you could roll the windows all the way down. But one instance, we must not have been able to take her car. And so we're driving in the loser, right? The PT loser. And we're throwing water balloons. And again, stupid. We're driving down to Cleveland. No, was it Cleveland? No, it was Beach off of Cleveland. And, you know, my buddy takes a water balloon and hits these kids that were sitting out by their car. Now, they didn't know what it was. They get in their car and they start aggressively tailgating us down Beach Road. So, of course, because, again, I'm an idiot. At the time, I was driving the PT loser. I turned down a dead-end street. Yeah. And so, ended up, I couldn't get out. I pulled into some random person's driveway. And these kids, you know, they got in our window. Get out. Don't be a... Again, I won't repeat the word on the air. They called the Cheektowaga police. And they came and settled the situation. And the officer, you know, was upset with us, understandably so. And again, but that was probably the biggest road rage that I myself experienced happening to me. I can understand why they were upset. That was a dumb thing to do. But yeah, they were tailgating us all the way down Beach Road until I stupidly turned down a dead-end street. Now, that was, you know, I was in my late teens. Again, not understandable or not an excuse, but you see where I'm coming from. What have you seen and have you ever seen road rage cause an accident? 803-0930, star 930. Marco in Buffalo. Marco, what road rage have you seen?
Well, you know, just today, I'm waiting for a school bus that's stopped at the side of the road, and the school bus is taking a while, and the three cars behind me start honking at me, and then while the lights are still on, they just zip on by the school bus. And I don't know if it's road rage, but I flipped them all the bird, and it upsets me. But I understand, you know. People are waiting, but these school buses are giving tickets out to anybody anywhere by them.
Yeah, I mean, it gets annoying at times, but you got to wait for the school bus. I could understand. I would be upset if I saw someone speed by a school bus with the lights still on. I can completely understand your actions there, Marco.
And I think these school buses are purposely, like, waving people on and giving them tickets and delaying just to gander more revenue also. So my road rage is both ways, towards the school buses delaying on purpose and people not paying attention to the law.
Yeah, I mean, even if that's the case, believe me, until that stop sign is down, I am not going anywhere because, Marco, like you said, I know that I can't get my license plate on camera. I can't afford another ticket.
I put my vehicle in park when I see a school bus. If it's 100 feet away from me, I'm pulling over the side of the road.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's annoying, and yeah, you get upset like, oh, come on, what's taking this bus so long? But you don't want to be the one caught on camera passing a school bus. That'll stick with you.
Oh, I would never pass a school bus.
Of course, of course.
But I do question if the school buses are purposely trying to get more revenue by encouraging people to pass them.
Yeah, I would say if that's happening, if you want someone to pass, close the door so the stop sign goes away and the camera's off. Marco, appreciate the call. 803-0930 star 930 gets you on the show. And, you know, we all, like I said, 96% of Americans have said they had some type of road rage. And I think it's mostly, like Marco said, it's you know, giving them the middle finger, right? The oldest road rage known to man. I think probably everyone who's driven a car has been guilty of that. But it could be as simple as, you know, someone's tailgating you, and then you see them get into the other lane, speed past you. You don't react, and then you see down the road they got pulled over by a cop. That does kind of make you feel good, doesn't it? You go, ah, look at that. Who's the idiot now? You see them getting a ticket. Because you were going, I mean, you've got some people. Now, I have been known to go over the speed limit. I've been a lot better in the last 6-7 years, but I've had my fair share of traffic tickets, okay? I regularly go within that, 8-9 miles over the speed limit on the highways, because as someone said, under 9 you're fine, over 9 you're mine, right? So I know, you know, to play it within the thing, and there are times where I'll look down, ooh, going 15, I should slow down a little bit, and then I'm going 15 miles over, and someone is speeding past me, going probably double over the speed limit that I am. You know what I mean? And you're like, oh my gosh. Maybe a lot of road rage would go away if we were actually leaving on time. You know, I understand people are busy, right? A lot of people feel that they're more busy than they've ever been, more stressed out than they've ever been. But, you know, leave 10 minutes earlier. Maybe you won't be in such a hurry. You won't cause the road rage or feel road rage because someone's going only 10 miles over the speed limit. That might play into it as well, why so many people are enraged at the car because they're behind the wheel going, oh my gosh, I told him I'd be there in 5 minutes. I'm 10 minutes away. You know, just call them. You know, you got the Bluetooth. Hey, I'm running a little late. But I think that contributes to a lot of the road rage. We're in more of a hurry, I think, now than we've ever been before. 803-0930, star 930, with some road rage that you've witnessed or that you've been guilty of. This is a safe place. When we come back, we'll talk about that. Also, America Online, the days of dial-up with AOL officially over today. Things are just winding down. Things that I loved from my childhood. AOL. AOL Instant Messenger is already gone. That went down a few years ago. All the originals of the internet slowly going away. There's a generation now that doesn't even know what a phone cord is. And I remember when we first got the... Well, you know what? I have a whole segment to talk about this. 803-0930, star 930. How has the internet changed over the last 30 years? And would you even recognize AOL from like 96? I mean, would you even know? What am I supposed to do with this? Where's the video? 803-0930, star 930. It's Beamer on WBEN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
yeah. The compilation discs that we're using this week, Living in the 90s, which was released in the 90s, so it's only like 90 through 97, I think, Tanner. He'll get the exact date, maybe through 99, but it doesn't get the full experience because it was released while the 90s were still going on. Great commercial, though. This is another one. When I saw it, I made sure I sent it to Tanner and said, hey, we're using this one coming up. We got a lot of good old 80s, 90s compilation discs that used to be, I'm telling you, these used to be on TV all the time. Here's just a little bit of what this one sounded like.
When it comes to the music of the 90s, anything goes. Right here, right now.
Music today is everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 803-0930, star 930. We're going to talk about something else from the 90s. But first, Doug is in Angola and wanted to respond to a claim Marco had. Doug, thanks for hanging on.
Yeah, how you doing?
Doing good, Doug. What's on your mind?
I'm a retired transportation director for the school systems. And in regards to Marco and his comment about the drivers waving on cars for more money for the fines and stuff, that's the farthest thing from the truth. Those drivers are there for the safety of those kids.
No, but should a driver be waving anyone through with the stop sign still out? Shouldn't they at least have the doors closed?
The door would be closed, but the driver would not be sending waving the car on if the student was there in the vicinity. And no, they should not be doing it with the door open. You're right.
No, for sure. I got to tell you this. Even if the stop sign's not out and there's a bus sitting there, I always pump the brakes. I studied the situation before I even think of passing the bus, regardless if there's a sign or not.
That's right. And that's what every person should do, because we are transporting the most valuable commodity going.
For sure,
These kids need to be able to get to school safe and back home every day.
I agree. It's. I don't care how late to work I am or to wherever I am. We got to make sure kids are getting on and off the bus and to and from school safely. That's more important than anything, in my opinion.
And that's the way it should be in everybody's, and including the drivers that are on them school buses. Those drivers would give their life for those kids. So the remark about him, you know, giving extra funds by waving them on, that's not the case at all. We would never want to see a ticket or a student put in harm's way. And now we've got AI. If you saw the latest thing on AI, those cars, the driverless cars, are going through school buses. There was a video sent that have about those cars that have no driver in them. They don't stop for school buses, and they'd also do not stop for railroad crossings.
Oh, that's
not to get off on a different topic, but
no, but that is a great topic.
It is a big deal.
That I did not, Doug. I'm glad you told me that part, because that is something I'm going to look up and maybe bring it to the show tomorrow, because I have always been very weary about when you're in these big cities and they have the driverless rideshare. I have always made sure I don't select that because of things you just mentioned, that the AI might not completely know yet or know how to react.
Right. Those cars, I mean, they gotta be tried somewhere, but they have to be more reliable than what they are right now to be being used in general public.
For sure.
Right now.
Doug, appreciate the call. Doug in Angola. Or I say, you know, there's enough people out there that want to ride share, want to make, you know, some money. Do we really need the... I don't want to get off on this because I had something I want to talk... I don't understand the need for a driverless car. Like, I didn't know that was a demand. I know people don't like driving. You know, you can fly, you can take a train, you can take the bus. You don't have to actually drive if you don't want to. The fact there's no driver, like, to me, I just I can't imagine technology is to that point yet. I mean, again, AI got Kathy Hochul's resume wrong. And that's the simplest thing on the internet. I just imagine that there's some things on the road that it doesn't know what to look out for yet. Again, there's enough people out there that are trying to make some money on rideshare. There's taxis still out there. There's ways to get around town if you don't want to drive. But hey, that's me. I don't want to sound too old, I guess. I don't know. Hey, do you remember this?
Making it every day, America Online is making it a little easier for people to live, work, and play. With point-and-click access to instant news and sports, financial updates, online magazines, shopping and travel, and easy access to the internet. Call now for America Online, a new way to use your computer to communicate and have fun.
Do you remember the discs you would get in the mail? The floppy discs, then the CDs? I remember it was New Year's Eve. I think it was New Year's Eve 99. We had not had internet. We had just moved to Buffalo. Right? We had just moved to Amherst in February of 99. And, you know, you always get these things in the mail. And I remember it was right before the ball dropped. And I go, guys, can we get with the times? It's almost 2000. We don't have the internet yet. And, you know, you put that disc in, you sign up, and you... Oh, what a time to be alive. And then you would try to go online. Do you remember trying to go online and too many people were logged into that phone number? I remember trying to log in online. It wouldn't let you. There's an issue. It like redialed. Or you're online and someone picks up the phone and that knocks you off the internet. Or you go to pick up the phone and someone's on the internet. You're like, I gotta get off the phone. Gotta make a phone call. Well, those days are done for America Online.
It's a sound that went hand in hand with getting online in the 90s and 2000s, and now AOL is pulling the plug on its dial-up internet service. At its peak, about 20 million people used America Online, as it was once known, but those numbers dropped off significantly as broadband internet proliferated. Even still, data from the U.S. Census Bureau finds as many as 163,000 people still use dial-up, mainly in rural areas. Mike DeBusky, ABC News.
It's just amazing. AOL used to be everything. I mean, this was in 1996. Do you remember this in the outrage? Oh my gosh, it was mass hysteria.
It could be called the silence of the techno nerds. The world's largest computer service, America Online, went down yesterday for 19 hours, taking with it millions of subscribers who were suddenly cut off from their information wonderland.
6 million people were taken offline. An electronic community of 6 million people were blacked out. You couldn't have electronic chat sessions online, and you couldn't get instant news and stock quotes.
Starfish Software in Scotts Valley, California, was having a big day, launching a new product when America Online cut them off from their potential customers.
We first kind of just looked at each other and said, gosh, now what do we do?
For some netheads and geeks, and that's what they call themselves, the crash of America Online left them feeling lost in cyberspace.
Basically, the entire thing had crashed.
And your reaction?
Oh my God, what am I going to do?
Down at Cyberfelds, a computer coffee house in New York City, where people meet and greet, dial up information services, check out entertainment, and even order a steak online, there was a feeling that people's lives had been unplugged.
And without it, you're very frustrated. You're very anxious.
A black day.
Physics student Shani Offen lost more than information when America Online died. She'd been flirting out in cyberspace.
And you lost a relationship because of this?
A potential relationship.
And the worst thing of all for many netheads was having to resort to a more primitive technology. Telephones and faxes. Peter Van Sant, CBS News, New York.
That was in 96. okay? And the outrage over America Online being off for 19 hours, okay? And you heard the things they were talking about. Couldn't go online, couldn't have a chat room session. Could you imagine if the internet, regardless of provider, the internet went down for 19 hours in 2025? Could you imagine the things you wouldn't be able to do? That was in 96. I mean, you look at it now. I would assume a lot of people in this audience, their entire TV is through streaming. You know, streaming cable, streaming movies, streaming sports. You know, people have their smart speakers. A lot of people have their electronics, like their lights, hooked up to their smart speaker. Your phone, right? And just how much you do with the internet today, what would you do? I look at our house. Our TV's through the internet. Like all the entertainment in the house is through the internet. If it went off, we don't even own a DVD player anymore. Like we depend on streaming for everything. The good thing is, if the internet went off, we do have a dial radio, and we would still be able to listen to News Radio 930 WBEN. So that's good. But America Online, getting rid of dial-up, which was, again, how most of us, right? I think maybe Tanner, being a younger generation, he might not have been introduced to the internet on a phone. It might have already been to where it is now. But most of us were introduced to the internet from the phone line, from the dial-up, in just how different we use it today, right? I remember as a kid, right, you'd be watching Nickelodeon and say, hey, play the Slime Time Live game, keyword Nick on AOL. Like, oh, I'm going to do that right now. You know, there was no social media. I mean, unless you call chat rooms social media. But, you know, there was AOL Instant Messenger. I mean, everyone texts now. When I was a kid, you're home, you know, after school doing homework, maybe you have the computer open, you're talking to your friends via AOL Instant Messenger. It's where a lot of the, you know, the chat slang, like LOL, well, that started in AOL Instant Messenger. Well, at least in that's how I think it started. The internet wasn't on all day because people were still using their landlines. And you couldn't tie up the line all day. I remember, you know, my parents, if they were waiting for a call, hey, you can't go on the internet until so-and-so calls, right? But again, the internet, it wouldn't be something that you just sat there for most of us, for hours and hours. You know, it was grainy video, if any video at all. Remember Real Player? There'd be some, you know, live channels on Real Player. Broadcasting.com, Mark Cuban's broadcasting.com. You could watch local news from all over the country. That was cool. But again, the video quality was through a phone line. But you weren't sitting there on your, on the couch, also scrolling through the internet, unless you had web TV. Now, web TV, I, as a kid, as a media nerd, I was always hoping my parents would get web TV. That looked so cool. You know, in the mid-90s. Now, web TV, you know, you'd look at this and go, what a outdated, my TV is 10 times connected to the internet. Why would I need web TV? But like stuff like that, again, we're talking about before social media. You know, you didn't have the internet in your car with you to guide, you know, to get you from point A to point B. It was the big, bulky computer. Either, you know, for at my house, it was in the basement. Other people, there was a, you know, the office. But you had a big bulky computer and the loud modem. You know, every time it was thinking, it would make that loud noise. You dial in. Yeah, you check emails. Now, that's one thing that hasn't changed. Emails in 99. There was a lot of spam in 99, just like there is in 25. But now, I mean, I'm sitting in this studio, right? Our phones are through the internet. The phones in the studio are not a phone line. That's the internet. You call us, it's It's somehow linked through the internet. It's not a phone line, right? I'm logged on here. I've got my show log that I emailed to myself. We have News Boss with all of our clips that are uploaded through the internet. The text board, obviously. It's everything is from the minute you get up to the minute you go to bed, there's a good chunk of your day that is just the internet. It depends on an internet connection, Wi-Fi, right? I mean, you walk into a store, there's a good chance you're going to get onto their Wi-Fi network. I mean, could you just imagine explaining that to someone in 96 when they went nuts for 19 hours of no AOL into just what it's become? When I was a kid, you wanted to play a video game with a friend. Well, the friend had to come over or you had to go to their house. Now, thanks to the internet, and again, your modem doesn't even have to be connected. It could just be on Wi-Fi. You can play with people you don't even, you can play Madden against people you've never met, right? It's crazy. And it's all the internet. When I was a kid, video games in the internet, they didn't really go, you know, I wasn't picking up my Sega Genesis and having to log online to play Sonic. The internet ran companies like Blockbuster out of business because now people just, I'll stream the movie. Again, if it ever happened that your internet service went down, what do you still have physical media? What are you going to do? Like I said, for me, we're lucky. We've got the radio tuner and I have an antenna. So I can go plug the antenna back in and get something. But so much of what we do to entertainment at home, to our jobs, right? DoorDash, Uber drivers. I know a lot of you out there are doing that as you listen to this show right now. Either your side hustle or your main job, depending on the internet. You want to go out. There's a good chance you're setting that reservation up online. Movie tickets online, right? It's crazy. I mean, the driverless cars that I think are completely unnecessary. But again, those are connected to the internet. It's so funny how it's changed from being this thing. Yeah, it was for entertainment purposes and it connected, you know, it kind of replaced the fax machine in the office place. But it went from that to literally being a majority of your life depending on that connection. Just imagine if we never evolved from dial-up, how different 2025 would be in all aspects of life, right? If we still have dial-up, do we have social media in the way we have it now? I can't imagine so. Like if the internet was still, you had to physically go to the computer, log in on the phone at those speeds, would social media be as popular as it is? And, you know, would it be the cancer that it is? Just interesting to think. But AOL dial-up, thank you for introducing us to the internet. And I'll still be using my AOL email address. I'm glad that's not going anywhere. That is all for today. Hope you have a great Tuesday afternoon. Tom Bowerly is up next. My thanks to Sean Lavin for joining me in the first segment. If you missed any of the show, you can find it on demand at WBEN.com. The Odyssey app, would you please follow the Joe Beamer Show podcast on the Odyssey app? I would greatly, greatly appreciate it. Tom Bowerly is up next after the news with Tom Puckett on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow, it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.